Remains from 44 adults and 9 children, primarily of African descent, were discovered in 1994 during a partial excavation of the 19th century well. VCU was constructing a new medical sciences building at the time, and the administration blocked archaeologists' attempts to properly excavate the site. Instead, they gave them a weekend to examine a portion removed by construction workers using a backhoe.
Historically, grave robbing has been of two kinds. Both were for profit, but when this profit became a part of the chain of justifications for sacrificing black bodies to the higher aims of science, a truly perverse ego of entitlement was created in the practitioners of medicine.
VCU professor Sean Utsi's 2011 documentary, Until the Well Runs Dry, brought attention to the medical college's history of stealing bodies from black cemeteries for use in medical research.
Medical College of Virginia catalog, they would brag that they had clinical material, dissecting material, readily available in the city of Richmond, so that students would be attracted to come there because they knew that they could do dissection, that bodies were there.
The documentary also shed light on the fact that the university hadn't yet done anything about the remains. Packed away in boxes, these individuals were still waiting for a proper burial. In 2013, VCU President Michael Rao invited university and community members to form a planning committee. That committee recently launched a series of community consultations focusing on further scholarship, memorialization, and reburial with dignity.
When I consider the long history of VCU, I'm incredibly proud of so many things that we've done, particularly the scientific and medical advances made on our campus. That have saved and continue to save, you know, countless people from all backgrounds. However, VCU is not proud of the circumstances surrounding these human remains.
At the first gathering, VCU's Quincy Birdsong told participants that the university acknowledges its role in this history and its responsibility to create a path forward that honors these individuals.
So I commit to you today that the legacy of these human beings will not be that they were buried in a well and forgotten, but it will be that they have inspired us to move forward together.
The descendants of these human beings, said Birdsong, could be neighbors.
So you stand in as their children. You will be the impassioned advocates and substitutionary voices for the people that we're honoring today.
The public process is being facilitated by Justice and Sustainability Associates, a DC-based organization that focuses on civic engagement and land use. Their projects include the National Museum of African American History and Culture and the African Burial Ground National Monument. CEO Don Edwards is facilitating the East Marshall Street Well community consultations.
By the time we get to the fifth consultation, and I hope all of you will have participated right through to the end, we are going to have changed history and created new possibilities for the future. And that isn't so much about what we do to memorialize the human remains that this project is discussing. It's really about learning how to be responsible for each other's lives.
The community consultations are partially about learning, but there's a strong emphasis on meaningful civic engagement.
People, we've got an issue here today.
Each meeting includes 2 30-minute breakout sessions where small groups are guided by a facilitator. In the first session, participants are discussing the research that's been conducted so far and whether more should be done.
Sketchingly remember when it happened in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of still curious of what's been going on since then.
All right.
There's a scribe at each table, transmitting notes in real time to the ideas team, who's summarizing all the group's feedback. After the first discussion wraps up, Edwards presents key responses to the entire group.
So questions about research, more on what kinds of research has been done, what are the options now related to DNA testing, are adequate records available from cemeteries and funeral homes? Okay. Questions about.
Edward says this discussion format is designed especially for difficult topics, creating a space to encourage civil discourse.
We want to create a vehicle for people to talk about sobering and heavy, potentially emotional things, but to reduce the idea of being in a big room where you have to talk to the whole room. So small groups are easier for people to talk in. Having facilitators and scribes removes the kind of like, I don't matter or my comments don't matter. Everybody's comments are being captured. And the facilitator is helping to make sure that everybody's engaged.
They also limit the topics addressed during the breakout sessions, says Edwards, to avoid overwhelming participants.
That helps, you know, people know that I can handle this. This is not above my head. I don't have to have a PhD. We really want to have a low threshold for access. And I guess the last part of it is, you know, for us having people know that we're going to repeat this design makes it possible for them to say, okay, I can do this. I can stay involved in this. So those are some of the things that matter. I think we also, however, want to communicate that you can talk about these kinds of things in a civil way. A lot of people who come out to meetings, if you've been to enough of them, you know that oftentimes people show up at meetings only to complain, to say what they have to say. They don't want to listen to anyone else. So we wanted to set a different context, but also show a different model.
This is a tremendous effort. I'm impressed with VCU. We're making progress.
Petersburg resident Lorraine Jones is one of today's participants.
I want more people. I want this to advance. This is an important element of our proof that we're civilized, that we look back at those whose skulls support us at this height so that we can continue to grow.
How many people from surrounding counties are included in that well?
Standing next to Jones is Edith Cookie Hurd from Williamsburg. This topic is a familiar one for Hurd. Back home, she works with William and Mary's Lemon Project, an initiative to study the college's history with slavery and discrimination and to build bridges with a larger community.
I knew nothing about the wells, so I got a good introduction. And one thing I would like to see happen is for it to be forecast as the Richmond and surrounding counties. Because the more people we get involved from outside, because it'll say, when they see that heading, some of my people might have been put in that well. And I think we can draw more people into this.
Participants also connected this issue to current disparities in health and access to care. And they questioned how the community can engage and honor descendant families whose relatives made significant contributions to the advancement of medical science. The next meetings, taking place May 2nd, 15th, and 30th, will build on these discussions. They'll also be used to identify community members to serve on a family representative council. At the end of this process, that council and the Well Project's planning committee will make recommendations to VCU about further study, reburial, and memorialization. For Virginia Currents, this is Catherine Comp, WCVE News.